About the kingdom that's coming, and in the Lord's Prayer it talks about the kingdom. People pray that, but they haven't been really too concerned about it for years. But the Bible says, we talked about last time, Christians are going to be rewarded what they do in this life. From the time they're saved till the time they're with the Lord. And that's what we want to talk about. I had a question somebody asked me once, what about purgatory? So I'm going to talk about that today a little bit, talk about several things, but you need to know these things. You need to know the answer.
That's right.
You need to know how to answer people when they ask you these questions. Is there such thing as purgatory? Well, my answer to that is there's something similar to it in the Bible. It's not exactly that. One idea about purgatory is very interesting. It is that it's a place where departed souls go into a fiery cleansing process, according to certain churches, is to prepare for the entrance into heaven. I'm not saying this is truth, I'm just saying this is one idea. So the souls go through a long process of fiery cleansing or atonement. Then the person goes, when he goes through this process, will go into a glorious heaven. Now here's the kicker. They say this time can be shortened by people praying or contributing to the church. Well, that's real good for the offerings.
That's right. No,
but that's not the way it works.
No.
If there's a purgatory, there's a purgatory in this life. Are you listening to me?
Really.
This is where the process takes place. It takes place after you get saved. And then there's a journey that you go on. We talked about it Wednesday night. There's no such place as an intermediate hell. There is a place, a holding area called Hades in the Bible. But you're not purged from your sins there. Once you die, that's it.
That's right.
If you die lost, you're lost. If you die saved, you're saved.
That's right.
It's just that clear. They got this idea of purgatory from a book that was added to certain Bibles called 2 Maccabees, chapter 12, verse 41 to 46. But that book is not part of the Bible, and it's not true. Most of the people who believe in purgatory do not believe in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. In other words, they don't believe there's a kingdom coming. Is that true, Grace? I don't know. That's why I know you were taught that. And so they teach there's, after you die, there's a purgatory. You go through a cleansing thing. But they don't believe there's a thousand-year reign of Christ. And so really what the deal is, they don't read their Bibles. People, religious people believe a lot of strange things. But there's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as really being cleansed of your sins after you die. Either you die in your sins or you die without your sins because they were put on the cross of Calvary on Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Now that's what we need to know, this information. We need to know the truth. We need to, not only for ourselves, but to help other people. And here's what the Bible says. If you're a Christian, every person that is a Christian has been born again, has already been reconciled to God. Their sins have been dealt with eternally. And if you sin in the present, the Bible says you confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's all done in this life. Are you listening to me? It has to be done here and now. Not later. It can't be done later. So the Bible says if you're a Christian, your sins have been purged by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's very clear, but I want to show you in the scriptures because you need to know where it's at. Look in Romans 10 and verse 8. And I realize I'm getting into a very heavy subject real quick, but I've got to get this information out as quickly as I can, because frankly, the King is coming. And we need to be ready, and I want you to be ready. I don't want anybody here to stand before Jesus and be ashamed at the coming of the Lord, at his coming. Romans 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. And this is what it says. And incidentally, verse 8 tells that this whole chapter, Romans 8, tells you about your security in Christ. That's what this chapter is all about. So if you want to know about that subject, this is the chapter. But chapter 8 is the chapter for that. Chapter 10 we're in now, verse 8. All right. But what saith this? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Okay? Now, it's very clear. But I wanted to say something. There's a lot of people, when they were children, made a profession of faith.
That's right.
But their life doesn't show that. It might be 20 years later, and their life doesn't show it. Were they saved back there? I don't have any idea. But I know one thing. I'd make sure now.
That's right.
I wouldn't wait. If I had to, I would come again to Christ, and I would pray, and I would mean it, and God would do it.
That's right.
Just that simple. I wouldn't rely on something happened 20 years ago that didn't change your life. Because I don't believe you can receive Christ and not be changed.
That's right.
It's an impossibility. So if you're holding on to something that happened 20 years ago and you don't see any of Christ in your life now, then get saved.
Tell it, brother.
Aren't you glad you came today?
That's right.
Really, because I don't want anybody thinking they're saved when they're not. And there's such a thing as being religious and lost, you see. Religious people go to church sometimes to read their Bible, but there's no change in their life. And they're lost. Christians are the ones that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's not the same thing as being religious. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or placing to your account your sins and trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, what that means is when you're saved, God deals with the sin problem right there. Now, that doesn't mean you don't sin. But what it does mean that after you sin, you confess your sin. Actually, you should confess your sin when you get saved.
That's right.
You ought to confess your past sins. Because that helps God cleanse your life.
That's right.
You see, but the blood of Jesus Christ took care of the eternal sin judgment problem. But on an everyday basis, when you sin, you confess it to God. He cleanses you from it. You move on. It's just that simple. Verse 21, it says, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. You need to circle that in your Bible, put a star by it. It says very simply, Jesus Christ, who was sinless, took our sin upon him, and in his shedding of blood, took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Now, you have to live that out in your life, but I'm talking about a spiritual experience here. As we get into some of these things, you'll understand them more. I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And I make no apology for being in the Bible. Somebody complained one time, they came to our church, said we're in the Bible too much. Well, praise God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. I hope they're in the Bible a whole lot now. who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. How do you know that your sins are forgiven? Because Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father on the throne of glory. And when he said he purged our sins, he sat down on the throne of God in heaven. And that's where he is today. And another way we know it is because when it says he sat down, he sent the Holy Spirit. Yep. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, I want to tell you something now. All believers are going to be raptured. They're not, some of them going to go to a place called purgatory. There is no such place. They're all going to be raptured. Every single believer will be taken up when Jesus comes in what we call the rapture. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians. This is what I'm talking about when Jesus coming for his church. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, if you have a notebook, you need to put these notes in your book because this tells you about the rapture of the church. You need to know this scripture. You need to know what it says. So I'll go through the whole thing real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep. That means those that have passed away. That you sorrow not as even as others who have no hope. We are always to have the hope of the coming of the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them who also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What this is saying, well, I'll show you in just a minute. Whenever it talks about resurrection in the Bible, it's talking about resurrection of the body, not the soul and spirit. When it talks about Jesus' resurrection, it's talking about the resurrection of Jesus' body. Okay? It's always a bodily resurrection. That's what it's talking about here. For if we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. Now here it is, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, this is talking about at the end of the church age, before the tribulation, when the rapture takes place. It says that those who have passed on before, whose soul and spirit went to be with the Lord, their bodies still in the ground, it says that those bodies are going to be raised first. All the Christian believers' bodies that the people have died will be raised first at the rapture of the church, or the taking out or the taking away of the church. Now, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. If we're still alive at the rapture of the church, the coming of Christ, he will take us up, body, soul, and spirit, and we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we be ever with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort yourself with these words. Now, what Christ wanted you to do as a believer, to comfort yourselves, because you have the hope that whether you're alive or whether you've already passed, when Jesus comes for his church, his bride, you will be taken up either bodily, or you will have already gone up and your body will come up and you'll get a new body, a glorified body. But this right here, 13 to 18, is talking about the rapture of the church. So keep that in mind. Mark that in your Bibles. Know what that means. Now, every believer is going to be taken up, whether you have died before this happens or whether you're still alive when it happens. Every baptized, Bible-believing believer is going to be taken up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Now, during this rapture, he's not going to come to the earth. He's going to come to the clouds over the earth. We will be taken up to meet him in the clouds, He will then take us into what we call heaven for 7 years. And I'm not going to explain all that now. It'd take too much time. But as you just listen as I'm teaching, you'll get all this information that you need. Now, so the issue is, God is not going to punish anybody when they get to heaven. But you obviously can lose rewards. You can lose rewards in heaven. And we're going to talk about that as we go along. Now, all believers are going to enter the kingdom. But it's not going to be the same for everybody. And I want to explain that now. All believers are going to be raptured. All believers are going to enter the kingdom. But only the overcomers, those who recognize their choices now, choose to follow Christ now, will be able to inherit these various positions that God has for them in heaven. Now, Sue gave me a VHS on heaven by a man who had gone there. Name is Jesse Duplantis. And he said when he went up to heaven, he saw two different categories of people arriving in heaven. One group of people that were coming from the earth had on robes of righteousness. The other groups of people had on what he called white gowns. They were different. And the ones, now I'll just say what he said because it's basically what I believe. The one in the white gowns are the ones that are going to suffer loss, didn't do what God asked them to do in this life. And so therefore, they're going to be retrained in heaven. They're going to be retrained in heaven. I believe that. But the overcomers, the one that have followed Christ, did what he wanted them to do in this life, they will go on into positions of authority in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to be here tonight, I'm going to give out a chart on this, but I haven't got time to do it this morning. We're going to go over that. But we'll have some of the charts you can pick up next time. But there's going to be a difference depending on how you follow Christ and respond to him in this life will make a difference as to your position of authority in heaven. Some will rule and reign with Christ, some will not. Okay? That's very clear in the scriptures. And as over the Sundays, I'll be teaching you, you'll get all of this. Now, the person it talks about, and we talked about this in 1 Corinthians 3, and let's go there very quickly. You say, I've been there before. Well, good. You're going to learn it if you keep going there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this tells you about something that is called the judgment seat of Christ for believers in heaven. There is going to be a judgment. There is going to be a final grade. There is going to be a test. The test is in this life. We get the results of it in the next one. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together. Being a Christian is work. Nobody ever said it wasn't work. It's not just to sit around and not do anything. We are laborers together with God for your God's cultivated field, your God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. This is Paul speaking. I've laid the foundation, another man builds on it, but let every man take heed how he builds upon it. Okay. You're saved. Your foundation is Jesus Christ. Now you're expected. That's the foundation of your life if you're a Christian. Now you are to build the works of God on that foundation in this life, not heaven, this life. Now, that's what it's talking about here. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, if you don't have Christ, none of this applies to you. All right. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this, and woman also, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, that's the good works of God, or wood, hay, and stubble, that's the selfish work of man. Now Christians can build either one, okay? Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's all going to come out in the wash, so to speak. A gigantic computer screen is going to show everything you did from the time you were saved to the time that you were taken up to meet God. This is the best way I know how to tell you. This is as simple as I know how to explain it. And it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it'll be revealed by fire. The fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he shall build upon it, he shall receive a reward. There it is. That's in the kingdom of God. 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay? What are we working towards now? Rewards, not salvation. We already have that if you know Christ. But we work towards rewards. You can get just as many or more rewards than me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'll get a reward for that. But you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. And we'll get into that here pretty soon. Now, obviously, gold, silver, and precious stones is not destroyed by fire. Fire only polishes it up. Are you listening to me? The wood, hay, and stubble is the stuff we do in our own selfishness in the Christian life on this earth. Now, if your work abides after the fire of God, didn't say you were going to be fired. It said your works would be. So, have you ever seen, how many ever been to a garage sale? Okay. And you can see the garage sale a long ways off. You see furniture and lawnmowers and everything else out on somebody's driveway. And it's all exposed. You get the idea? That's the way our works are going to all be laid out. It's going to be one gigantic God sale. Not garage sale. And there's going to be a heavenly angel with a godly flamethrower, and he's going to turn that on all those works. Now, don't you imagine some of it's going to burn up, and some of it's going to remain. What remains, you will get rewards for. Now, remember, it's what you do under God's direction, not what you do on your own. What you do under God's direction. How do you find God's direction? You get in the Word of God. You hear the Word of God taught. You understand what the Word of God says. You listen to the Holy Spirit. He will make it very clear. One thing everybody's supposed to do is go to their family reunion and tell them about Jesus. That's what we were talking about earlier. You don't just sit there on your hands. You know, you say, well, I just don't want to offend anybody. Offend somebody. Would you rather not offend them and let them go to hell? Right. I mean, come on. So somebody gets upset.
They'll get over it.
Yeah, they will, and they'll be thinking about what you said for several months,
right.
And you'll get a call.
That's right.
Say, I want to know more about this. I did that to my brother-in-law. He knew the Bible better than I did. You know the best way to witness to somebody is give them your testimony? Did you hear me? Give them your testimony. That's what I kept doing. I just kept giving him my testimony. I said, I don't know what that means. He'd give me a scripture. I said, I don't know what it means, but I know what God did for me. And here's what he did. And he just kept telling him and kept telling him and kept telling him. And finally one day at midnight, he calls me. I mean, I'm with him. We're out in a pizza place down in Quincy, Illinois, would you believe? And he looked at me and he says, now tell me again what God's done for you. 3 o'clock in the morning, I was still telling him in this place. It stayed open all night. The next morning, which was Sunday, he went to a little Methodist church out in the country where they gave an invitation and said, who would like to come to receive Christ? He ran up that aisle. 2 years later, he was pastoring a church. He led his brother to the Lord, and he started pastoring a church. Just because I gave my testimony, I didn't know much about the Bible until, to be honest with you, I just got saved. And that's what God did. Now, everybody should do that.
That's right.
But there are specific things that God wants you to do in the situation you're in, you see. We're always afraid, oh, God's going to send me to Africa or something. Take care of Rockford, and then you can worry about Africa. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
All right. Now, so that's what this is all about. We need to, Christians need to understand there's going to be a test. There's going to be a final exam. There's going to be rewards given out for the best, for the grades and so forth. I'm not going to be tested against you, and you're not going to be tested against me. We're all going to be tested for what God had. In fact, there's going to be another screen. There's going to be another big screen, and that's going to show you everything that God had planned for you in your life on this earth. Everything God planned for you in your life from the time you're saved till the time you're with the Lord. It's going to be on there, and that's why it says there's going to be some tears in heaven. Because you're going to see the things that you missed that you should have been doing for Christ while you were living on this earth. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's only a few things important in life. Number one is Christ, having him as your Savior. Number two is loving your neighbors yourself, loving God, loving your neighbors yourself, and preparing for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Now everything else is under that. Those are the number one priorities. Can't you imagine somebody standing before Jesus and they said, what kingdom? The kingdom that's in the Word of God. The kingdom that's in Revelation. The kingdom that's all over the Bible. What were you doing back there? You see. And people need to know this information. And so that's why I'm giving it out, sometimes in detail. But chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians from 11 to on down here tells you. Now look at verse 16. This is very interesting too in chapter 3. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? Wonder why he put that right after the rewards thing. Because what did you do in your body while you were on this earth? That's what that is. It's supposed to be the temple of God. What are you doing with it? Now don't run out the door now. Just hang on to the pew. It'll be all right. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. But this is the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into your spirit to live there for eternity. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you, I just said that. If any man defile the temple, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. I don't want to teach this world. I want to teach the truth of God. Amen. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. You can see how it's getting us in this country. You see, we elected a bunch of people that do not know God.
Tell it, brother.
And we want to know why they're making such dumb decisions.
They're dumb.
You and I can make better decisions than they're making in Washington and not even know anything about it.
That's right.
You know. Hurry up, we've got to pass this law. Now, don't anybody read it.
Yeah.
I'm a little smarter than that, and I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I mean, come on. Does that make sense? I don't think so. I'm glad there's another election coming up. All right. Now, the point is, we're going to be responsible for what we did in our body, what we did to our bodies, and all that stuff. We're going to be responsible for what we did to other people, or good or bad. We're going to be responsible for what comes out of our mouth, good or bad. We're going to be responsible for what we think about, good and bad. We're going to be responsible for what our eyes see, good and bad. We're going to be responsible for where our feet takes us.
That's right.
The whole shooting match, we're going to be responsible for. And don't worry about, you say, oh my goodness, I messed up already. Well, confess that sin and start today. Confess that and start today. Get in the Word of God. Nobody's perfect. The Apostle Paul said he wasn't perfect. There isn't anybody that doesn't sin occasionally. Sin's very simply breaking the laws of God. That's all it is. If you want to know what it is, read the Ten Commandments. And you know those Ten Commandments are just categories of sin. It's not, it covers all, everything there is. Those Ten Commandments cover life.
That's right.
You see. And that's the issue. Now, overcomers, if you go to Revelation, you go to the seven churches of Revelation, every one of them, he says, to the overcomers, I'm going to give a white stone. To the overcomers, I'm going to give authority in heaven. To the overcomers, I'm going to give this and that and the other thing, crown of righteousness and all that. And so God must make it very clear, it's not going to be the same when you get to heaven. It's all going to be good, but it's not going to be the same.
That's right.
Okay? Now, some people, when they get there, are going to have to go to the University of Christ. You're going to go back to school to learn what I'm teaching today. You understand what I'm saying? If you didn't get it, you're going to have to get it. Now, there is something, I'll just give you a little hint ahead of time. There's something in the Bible called outer darkness. How many ever heard of it?
Yep.
Okay. You know what outer darkness is? It's not hell. It's a place some believers are going to be. You're going to be outside of the city. The University of Jesus is not in the city. It's in the outer darkness. You ever been to a party out in the yard at night when it's dark and there's lights there usually, and you just go beyond the lights, there's just darkness out there. Well, that's where the people are going to be. They're not overcomers. They're not going to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're not going to go into all these things that it talks about here. They're going to have to be retrained when they get to heaven because they didn't learn the Bible here. I'm telling you, as clear as I know how to teach it. That's why I try to open the Bible and teach the Word of God so you know what you should know in this life, and you won't have to be retrained when you get to heaven. And obviously those that don't understand these things now, obviously they're not going to get the rewards that those that learn it now and do the works of God now. And I'm going to tell you, it's a lot more than just saving souls, although that's a priority. There's a lot more to it than that. Every man's work is going to be laid out in the driveway to heaven. You got it? All the works going to be laid out there. Good and bad. We're not necessarily talking about sin here. That was dealt with on the cross, and we deal with it when we confess it.
Yep.
Now, Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, he said very simply, they thought he was going to set up the kingdom right then.
Yep.
They thought he was going to kick Rome out of Israel. He was going to set up that 1,000-year reign of Christ that it talked about in the Old Testament all over the place. Where he was going to sit on David's throne. David's going to be there too. Hallelujah. But he said, he made it very clear, I'm not going to set up my kingdom now.
Don't
run. Now I'm going to tell you why he's not going to set up the kingdom now. It's very interesting. When a Roman general got an assignment, he had to go to Rome, and they laid that assignment out. And he was if we can put it this way, ordained for that job. Then he would go back and with his troops, and he would do whatever he was supposed to do. That's exactly what Jesus is doing now. We're going to see in just a minute. If it's, well, ran out of time already, and I hadn't even got started. Jesus went into heaven for the assignment. We're down here getting ready. He's going to come back, and then we're going to go into the kingdom of God. You got it? But if you aren't learning here now, we're in boot camp now. It's here. You're either going to have boot camp here or you're going to have it in heaven. That's the point I'm making. If you learn it here, you're going to go right into what God wants you to have. Otherwise, you're going to have to go through it one time or another. So this is the best time. And you're going to get the best rewards by going to it now. That's very clear in the scriptures. Now, there's two things that God, there's two tests really for people. Number one is going to be our relationship with Christ. Are we developing now our relationship with Christ? Do we have a relationship with Jesus? That's not only salvation, that is learning to love and understand the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. That's number one. Number two, are we doing what God wants us to do so He can trust us in His kingdom? Are we doing now what God wants us to do so He can trust us with what He gives us in the kingdom? If He can't trust you with what He's given you now, how is He going to trust you in the kingdom? It doesn't say you're not going. It just says you're going to have to learn to trust Him there if you don't learn here. That's it. Somewhere, Jesus is going to have to be able to trust you. And you're going to either have to show Him now or show Him when you get to be with in heaven, one place or the other. Now, oh my. My wife said I preached too long here, so I'm going to. And she's right. And I'm in big trouble. Luke 19. She says, some people get tired of sitting there. I guess I don't understand because I'm standing. Okay. I want you to read this because I'll get into it next time. This is very important. It's going to show you how these reward things work. Okay, look in Luke 19, verse 11. I want you to read this because I'm going to explain this next time. And I'll just read a little bit of it. Luke 19, 11. I might as well stay here the rest of the day because if I go home, I'm in big time trouble.
You're in trouble, buddy.
Yeah, right. Well, you folks are fortunate she's here because I'd preach till 3 o'clock this afternoon. All right. Luke 19:11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. There it is, see? They thought he's going to set up the kingdom right now. And then he goes on, he said, therefore, it's like this. A certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That's the same thing as Jesus going to heaven to get his responsibility for down the road here. And he called 10 of his servants and delivered 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. Now, this doesn't mean in verse 13 that God's going to give everybody the same, because he's not. But this is just a parable. God gives you gifts. God gives you spiritual gifts. He gives you natural gifts. He gives you the Bibles. They're all over the place. He gives you churches to learn. He gives you all these things. And here's what he said. He called 10 servants. I like this. Every time I see the number 10, I get excited in the Bible because I believe when we're with God, we're going to be in 10 dimensions. will operate in 10 different dimensions. It's in the Bible, the Old Testament, they had instruments of 10 strings. I think they played music you never heard in your life, because they were playing heavenly music with those 10 strings. But anyway, he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and I said, take these and occupy and use them. And really, he says, the point was they were to multiply them. They were to grow. The church of God, Jesus Christ, is to grow. If it isn't growing, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, I say, if it isn't growing. Because it should be a growing thing. If people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, it should grow. You should be having babies. No? I'm talking about... I'm talking about spiritual babies. Okay. And some of these citizens here in verse 14 didn't even like him. Yeah, no, that's interesting. They said, we don't want this guy to reign over us. You ever hear anybody like that? I don't believe in God, and if there is one, I don't want to know about it.
That's right. Tell them, brother. Until they get sick.
Yeah. Came to pass when he was returning, having received the kingdom, that he commanded his servants to be called unto him, and to whom he had given the money. The money here is just a picture of gifts and talents, that he might know that every man had gained by trading. In other words, he expected them to multiply what he had given them. It's very clear. Multiply what he had given them. I'm going to try to hurry here. Then he came to the first one, saying, your pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Because thou been faithful in very little, now you're going to have authority over 10 cities. He's talking about in the kingdom of God. The second one came, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. They didn't all do the same. They didn't all accomplish the same. They didn't all... They accomplished various degrees of what God had given them. Gained 5 pounds, and he said unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And the other came, saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared you, because you're an austere man, that thou takest up what you didn't lay down, you reap what you didn't sow. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth I'll judge you, you wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that which I laid not down, and reaping that which I didn't sow. Why then didn't you give your money to the bank, so I'd at least have interest? He said unto them, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Don't you imagine there's going to be a bunch of screaming and scrawling. If the guy didn't multiply it, take it from him, give it to the one that did what I told him to do. Now, that's going to be the person that's going to have to be retrained. You got it? God gave it to him, but he didn't use it. And they said unto him, Lord, he's got 10 pounds. I say unto you, unto everyone that has shall be given, and to him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. That's loss of rewards. That's not hell. That's not anything like it. You're in heaven here. But those enemies who would not that I should reign over them, bring them here and I'll slay them, those are the ones that went to hell. 3 categories of people on this earth. The ones that come to Christ, do what he asks them to do, they're going to receive rewards. The ones that take what God has given them and do nothing with it, they're going to have to be retrained in heaven. And those that shook their fist at God and say, I'm not going to have anything to do with you, they will go to eternal hell. Now, that's as plain and clear as I know how to do it. I don't care how wise you are in this world. If you're not wise in what I'm teaching, you're not wise.
That's right.
Not because I'm teaching it, but because it's the Word of God.
That's right.
Well, if this makes sense to you, say amen.
Amen.
That's as clear as it gets. That's as clear as it gets. Now I'm going to go into more detail next time and some other things. But you need to know how God is going to judge you before it happens. You know something about God? He gives you an open book test.
That's right.
He gives you an open book test. It's called the Bible. He said it's all in there. I like those open book tests. And but you know, some people even flunk those. Wouldn't it be something to go to heaven and flunk Bible?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Let's stand before the Lord.